It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Sandra Smith, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm John Saucier. Springtime is special on college campuses as final exams take place and seniors gear up for graduation. This spring has been a much different one for many college students as major anti-Israel protests have gripped campuses across the country. Overnight Monday into Tuesday, a group of protesters have taken over Hamilton Hall on the campus of Columbia University, and more lawmakers are speaking out against what's happening.
This has gone from beyond a freedom of speech, the right to assemble, the right to petition your government. It's gone beyond, you know, the permitted process of being able to express your opinions. Now these groups have escalated their cause to violence. It's really a sad day for America, sad day for the Constitution.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
The big question on the table today is, when do protests cross the line? This is what university presidents have to consider while protesters have taken over college campuses, calling for an end to the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. The most high profile of these demonstrations has been at Ivy League, Columbia University in New York, but we've seen them at other schools around the country also.
The reason they're making news is because of the violence they're creating now and their calls for killing, you know, Zionist individuals, expelling Jews.
We're speaking today with Republican Congressman Kevin Hern. He represents the 1st District of Oklahoma.
This has gone from beyond a freedom of speech, the right to assemble, the right to petition your government, things of that nature. It's gone beyond, we've heard from California to New York, it's gone beyond, you know, the permitted process of being able to express your opinions for people to listen. And knowing that, you know, this happens every single day on college campus, they've had to, now these groups have escalated their cause to violence. And we're seeing that, especially in Columbia, as that plays out with what they're doing and destroying property, and now have broken into the administrative building and basically now have shut down the entire Columbia University. It's really a sad day for America, sad day for the Constitution.
Can Congress step in here at all and do anything about it? We know that Congresswoman Elisa Fonick has been very outspoken against not only these protesters, but how the colleges themselves have handled them. We know that the president of Harvard stepped down. President of Penn also stepped down. What can Congress do about it?
Well, I think, you know, the question that Congresswoman, our conference chair, Elise Stefanik, you know, raised back in December 5th last year when she, you know, at the very end of a second round of questioning, she asked those three presidents of Pennsylvania, Penn and MIT and Harvard, how they would respond to calls for genocide of the Jews. And they were, you know, I think these, you know, professors that were, you know, presidents, they were kind of appalled by that question. But here we are, you know, less than 6 months later, seeing that very thing happen. And, you know, as you just mentioned, two resigned and the other, you know, they're still hanging on. But now we have Columbia doing this. And, you know, President Shafiq, you know, she's not bowed down yet. She's not left there yet. You know, this has been going on for a week. This should have never gotten to this point. And now they're supposedly suspending and expelling people. The real travesty in all this is the parents are paying $100,000 a year for each of these students to go there. You've got students that are, you know, a lot of students, more students than not, that are paying for enormous amounts of money that are not being able to get educated. And I've got to believe there are parents out there who are simply put out with the fact that this president and this university is doing nothing to protect their children and the investment of education into their children's lives.
I'm glad you brought up the cost of college. I mean, it is outrageous. $100,000, sometimes many times much more than that, especially with these private universities and higher education places. The Biden administration has worked to cancel student loan debt, quite a bit of it, actually. Now, some of it was struck down by the Supreme Court as well, but we're learning now the Education Department is working out trying to forgive more student loan debt here. like a very, very large amount, almost equal to the size of how much, or greater than the size of how much that the government actually gives to higher education. What's your thoughts on the Biden student loan debt forgiveness plan, and should this move forward or not?
As the RSC chair and as a member of Congress, I've said that it's unfair to everyday Americans who go to school, pay their debts, members who have paid their debt that are over the years, to all of a sudden have a president that's going to pay upwards of, it's estimated, $500 to $700 million in free money for people to go to school without any regard of what they're going to do, as we're seeing example of folks at Columbia and elsewhere across the country, because as you know, they're not all the Ivy League schools. There are other, many other state schools, public schools that are doing this as well. We saw this at the University of Texas. And, each of these university presidents and the state governments are handling these differently, whether they're bringing in the police to stop the violence and to stop the disruption and stopping the threats of other students' lives. But this comes down to a safety issue. And these presidents, whether they want, to say this is for the sake of politics, whatever, they're showing total disregard for the safety of all students. And that's just the bottom line. They are not fit for their jobs. They need to step down immediately, these presidents.
President Biden has said he would allow Trump-era tax cuts to expire if he wins another term in office, but his Treasury Secretary says otherwise. We've got Republican Congressman Kevin Hern, who represents Oklahoma's 1st Congressional District, with us today. And we'll talk to the congressman about the Biden tax plan and about another issue very important to voters in this election year, the border. The conversation will continue right after this. Congressman, I'm glad you brought up taxes as well, because that's kind of my next question here. Is there a push in Congress by Republicans to investigate what might happen to middle-income earners if the Trump-era tax cuts expire? This is set to happen in a potential second Joe Biden term. President Biden has said he would allow those Trump's tax cuts to expire. And there are some Republicans who are wondering if this might hurt middle-class taxpayers who are benefiting off of these tax cuts, especially those with children. What's your stance on this issue? And do you think there is any chance President Biden might not make this move if he does win a second term?
Well, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. We just had a four-hour hearing in Ways and Means where we have complete jurisdiction over the tax code going forward. And Secretary Yellen was our single witness, and she spoke to the fact that Joe Biden said he would not raise a single cent of taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year. But yet, in the other side of his mouth, he says he's going to let these tax cuts expire. And we know across America that the average tax cut for a middle-class American, middle-income American, was roughly $3,000 to $4,000 based on what part of the country you're in. And so by allowing those that tax cuts to expire, that means that these individuals are going to pay $3,000 to $4,000 more a year. Now, if you talk to anybody outside of Washington, D.C., they would say if they expire and I pay more, that's equivalent to a tax increase. So the president is not being truthful. I said that to Secretary Yellen today. She is not being truthful with the American people. And by the way, they're talking about raising corporate taxes to make us less competitive in the world. And it's without any question that when a corporation raises taxes, that the consumer of the products that corporation makes pays about 32% of the tax increase. The actual worker pays about another 38% of that. And then the owners of the company pay the remainder. So, the corporation is just an entity, and it increases its prices to compensate for any increased taxes. So all of this thing that Joe Biden is talking about is just not factual. He's lying to the American people, and they know it.
All right, let's talk about government spending, because obviously in the House, there's been a huge debate on how to get this foreign spending aid package passed through. Many Republicans wanted some border security thrown in there. That didn't quite happen. What's your thoughts on the border and what can be done? It seems like it's just a stagnant issue in Congress, but on the southern border, it's anything but stagnant. It's happening very rapidly with so many people who continue to show up.
It's a really amazing It's a partisan issue that only Republicans care about the border and the Democrats don't. It's amazing that we have to try to find some kind of vehicle mechanism, legislative mechanism, to force Democrats to secure our southern border. When you look at, almost 10,000 people a month dying from fentanyl overdose, it's coming strictly from Mexico, nowhere else in the world. When you see what's happening with military-aged men crossing our southern border, not wanting to seek asylum, but just disappearing into our nation by literally the thousands per month, this is a travesty. When you have the FBI director, Chris Wray, who has a colored history with Republicans, but come to a Republican committee and say, it's not if, but when we're going to have an uprising of people from around the world. I mean, we're being invaded from inside, and we're from the southern border, and we're going to be invaded from the inside. And this president's doing absolutely nothing about it. You mentioned the Ukrainian spending, the supplemental. In the Ukrainian package that passed, the $61 billion, it actually spells out in there, there's $300 million to secure the Ukrainian border. And we received exactly zero to secure our border.
Very interesting note right there. We appreciate that. Finally, for you, Congressman, I want to know what you think about House Speaker Mike Johnson. Many Republicans, especially on the far right, the conservative Republicans in Congress, haven't liked how he has acted, especially on this spending package, not getting border security in there. Another spending package before the government was about to shut down was passed with help of Democrats in Congress. Do you like how Speaker Johnson has performed? Do you support his ouster? How do you feel about him?
Well, every single member in Congress, if they go back to their district and talk to their Republican base, or will hear time and time again, you know, what's going on? Why are we not, you know, we have Republicans in charge of the House, but we're not passing fiscally responsible bills. We have Republicans in the House, and we're not securing our border. We have Republicans in the House, and we're not doing anything about these runaway universities. We're not limiting government. And those are the core principles of the Republican Party. And so as a member of Congress that's a Republican, as I am, as you come back up here, you're being asked these questions back in your district that you simply cannot answer because they are right. And it doesn't appear that the Republican Party carries the same principles that it once did. And so the American people are frustrated. The Republicans aren't leading on these issues, that we're basically acquiescing and passing the Democrat agenda. And that, I think that's all culminating to what we're seeing right now with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey and others that are pushing for this motion to vacate. So I don't know where that's going to be, but obviously we just got notified there's going to be a press conference tomorrow with a couple of those members. And so we'll see what comes from that.
As we stand right now, though, do you support the motion to vacate? Would you like to see Speaker Johnson out of there?
Well, listen, I think it's disruptive right now for us to change the leadership. We've got work to do between now and November. The time for changing leadership is at the election in November. The regular order of doing that, what's been done is done. But, you know, I certainly don't speak from other colleagues about where they're at. For me personally, I think we need to work on the 25 appropriations bills, get those done. We need to get a budget passed. We need to get working with the Senate to fund our government. And then we'll have our day in the conference to elect new leadership come November.
Very good. Congressman Kevin Hearn, a Republican who represents the 1st District of Oklahoma. Thanks for your time, Congressman, and for being with us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.